Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. So that's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.
You're listening to the Coach Code Podcast, and this is your host, John Kitchens. Join me as we unlock your greatest potential, collapse time, reveal your blind spots, and become the best version of yourself. Hey, everybody, before we jump into today's conversation, just want to throw out if you're struggling, really scratching your head and wondering what the next step is for you and your business, just jump on a call. Just go to coachcodecall.com, book a call, and let one of our advisors walk you through and give you a little bit of clarity and some next action steps heading into this uneasy, uncertain market. Book that call today. What is up, Honey Badger Nation? Thank you guys tuning in to another episode of Expert Mentors Live. And man, I'm excited for today. We got the OG, we got the man responsible in the house. And you know, I got to actually meet you. You know, I had already met Justin, and you know, definitely knew that he had some strong upbringing. Just being able to get to know him and his character. And I don't know if I ever told you, but you know, the first conversation I had with Justin, he was on the beach somewhere or whatever. And, you know, I shot him what I was looking for, and he shot me straight right then and there. He said, "Man, we ain't gonna find that, but here's what we can do." And instead of just trying to, "Oh yeah, we can do that," or whatever, you know, he really is like, he pushed back, he challenged, he questioned. And I was like, okay, that's where I, and then obviously he was being able to, you know, deliver the result with what he was doing. And I was like, okay, there's definitely some for being as young as he is, there's definitely some influence and some value driven and how he's making decisions. And then the opportunity to meet you playing a little golf, getting a little carried away, you know, might've been sleeping in back seats, you know, a little extracurricular activities, but nonetheless,
I could just call that bonding.
We were bonding,
untouching bonding.
We were bonding. I love it. So Mike, welcome, man. Great to have you on Expert Mentors Live. And, you know, really in true Honey Badger Nation, just, you know, really what this series is about is just pulling, you know, just incredible human beings like yourself that just want to pour and give back into this incredible community. And today's going to be pretty special for everybody out here that's looking to grow, to build, you know, a support structure, a fortress, if you will, of organization, team members, people around you, and to be able to help you accomplish. Because I mean, even Tiger Woods had team members, right? To be able to allow him to get to what he was able to accomplish. So Mike, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that's spot on too. You know, a lot of people may be on this call like, what is a team? I'm a single agent, right? But you're still made up of a chemistry of a team, right? And we'll kind of go into that. Everybody, I don't care who you are, has some type of support system or team mechanisms for sure. So agreed.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there, chemistry. And, you know, it really, I think even thinking early on in our, you know, just all the businesses and things, endeavors that I've been a part of in the entrepreneurial space, small business space, you know, sometimes we hire, you know, for pain. Sometimes we hire because they're our buddies. They're just like us. It's going to be fun. We'll have a great time. We're going to make some money. And I can, with 100% certainty, that is never the recipe, because that recipe always ends. It always ends. It always does.
We've all learned by experience.
You know, so Mike, give a little bit of background, you know, kind of your, you know, forte, because I think understanding your background and knowledge and experience will, you know, kind of resonate with today's kind of where we're going to take people and the teachings and understandings that we want to, you know, pass on to them. But if they have a little context of who you are, I think it'll connect the dots of why it resonates so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, back in the day, as you say, I started off with, I did 20 years in the Air National Guard. So on the military side, out of the state of Texas and Colorado combined in two different ventures, if you will. And simultaneously, since the Guard was a one weekend a month, couple weeks a year, extra time in Iraq as needed and things like that, right, is I also worked IBM, and they work very hand in hand, and they were complementary of each other and one another. So my point to that message is a lot of that was leadership experience through a corporate Fortune 500 company, right? It was military documentation processes, systems, and certainly military, as you grow through the ranks, is a lot about leadership. You're leading men and women into some situations, right? So I'm very proud and honored to have had those experience to be able to grow how to document processes really well, but also just grow leaders. I mean, that's a passion of mine, is really growing leaders, no matter what they are, whether it's my kids, whether it's employees at work, contractors, you name it. It's just a fault of mine, is I'm always going to give you some type of leadership modeling. And that's really what led me to the six working geniuses. So on the real estate side, obviously we were with a previous brokerage up to about a year and a half ago, and made a leadership change. And I think what was really important about that leadership and the modeling we had done in the past was all but like one. So we had like 14 of our 15 agents make the move with us. And it was about the brokerage, but it was also about me as a person. And I didn't expect that. It was an interesting dichotomy where they were like, we'll follow you wherever you go, right? It was more about the leadership than it was any of the other things, right? So that was a surprise to me. Not that I was surprised, but I was kind of surprised. It kind of choked me up a little bit, right? So it just kind of says if you're a leader and you have good business models and processes, people warm up to that, right? And they'll kind of follow you. And that's why I was used to the military, right? The military is going to follow you. Your subordinates will follow you to wherever you go, right?
Yeah. And I think too, you know, there's a little bit of difference there. Cause you look at like in the real estate space, and then you've got those people, right, that, other than in the military, like, I mean, you don't have to be committed, but you're compliant. Mm-hmm. And you carry that over into small business, and people say they're committed, but it's like, man, are you committed to this vision? Are you committed to this cause? Are you committed to what it takes? Or are you just being compliant to it? And I think that's just a huge distinction where a lot of people and leaders, and they really mess it up of being able to, you know, bring the right functions in, and certain functions require certain energies and certain skill sets. And even your experience, just because even thinking through as you're talking there with, you know, my oldest, you know, in the you know, Air Force over in Korea right now, he's got a job, right? Yeah. And you start thinking through, and I just remember him going through that process, and like, you're a fit for this job. You're a fit for this job. You're a fit for this job. And he got fitted for, like, he had no experience, like, mind you, zero experience for what he's doing. He's working on fighter jet engines, for Pete's sake. Like, seriously, my son, I know this kid. He has no million, business
hundreds of millions of dollars in responsibility.
He has no business working on a fighter jet engine, but yet he is. But you know, when he was going through that process, they're like, "You're a good fit for this," and he's like, "I don't know shit about small engine mechanics. Like, I never, like, doesn't even appeal to me." And they go, "Well, we'll teach you that, but you've got the fit for that." And so that just was really interesting, and kind of thinking through. And, you know, for me, like, I always resonate back to all the failures more so than, hey, we nailed that. We got that right. I'm like, man, how do we mess that up? And how do we make sure that we don't mess that up again into the future? And so for you, like, where did, outside of the leadership, but the team growth, the right fit, the right people, like, where was that light bulb moment for you where you're like, man, there's something here and I need to explore this a little bit deeper?
I think it's twofold. The first part of it was we got introduced to the EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating Systems, right? And going through that, obviously Rocket Fuel was an instigator to that. We went into EOS, and then this naturally just gravitated into another interesting model that we wanted to look at called the Six Working Geniuses. So that was part one of it. Also part two, I would say, is there's opportunities in our job that we are good at, but we don't get energy from doing it. And what I've experienced in the past, even reflecting on myself, is why am I doing what I'm doing? Because I don't like my job anymore. What is it that I don't like about my job? I'm good at maybe what I'm doing, but I'm burned out. I don't like it. I don't want to do it anymore. So anyways, this model was less about personality and more about productivity. What gives you energy in what you do? You may be good at something. I'm great at mowing lawns, but I don't want to do it 8 hours a day. That doesn't give me energy, right? And so it was really peeling that back. And you've got to look at that as a total team, right? Is your geniuses and the energy you get are going to probably look different than mine. And so there's kind of a 6-character acronym that kind of goes through that. That certainly we'll go through that today.
You know, my first introduction into the assessment personality profile type world was actually when I got introduced to, to Kinder back in October of 2004. And previous to that, you know, I had worked with serial entrepreneurs. I mean, we were best friends, in high school and junior high and high school and just we'd done everything together. And so, you know, when I did my time in California in the golf world, which was really my college, right? I had an incredible boss that took me under the wings, and she taught me all the facets because we were at a semi-private resort dealing with public and members. You couldn't make up a better on the job training to understand how to deal with people and also understand business. And so when I went back with my buddies, got sucked in, and like I said, serial entrepreneurs who took businesses, got them profitable, found somebody that really wanted it and flipped it over to them. So it was kind of a really cool experience in a short amount of time with those type of businesses. But I had never seen kind of the assessment. We were all gritty and hard work. I mean, that's why we were friends for so long. And we didn't give a shit. We would tell each other what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. And we just got the job done. But when I came on board with Kinder, it was the very first thing. I met him and I'd met Reedy, and the office was still even being remodeled. It wasn't even done yet. And we were talking, and then they made me take a DISC test. That was my very first assessment to that. And one of the things that I've learned about the DISC over many years is that people can do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I'm coming full circle with this rant to validate your point, is that people can do anything. And I've had the opportunity, you know, I've coached the best of the best on the planet, right? I've coached Lars Hedenborg when he was just him and an assistant. You know, I've coached, you know, we can go on for days, but you look at Lars, not a DI personality, right? I've coached people that are SC personalities that you're like, oh, you can't be head of company. You can't be a top producer. You can't build an empire that is a CS organ that you just can't do that. I'm like, man, don't pitch anybody into the DISC profile. What the DISC tells me, and this is your point, is where are you going to find sustainable energy? Mm-hmm. Because I can DI, right? I'm a SC, CS, just depending upon kind of where it falls. However, when I was head of company running the brokerage through all the shit that we were running it through, I took the DISC, I was a DIC. I was a DIC, and that's what everybody in the office said. Here comes the DIC. And so, but that's not my natural state, right? I'm back down to being who I am, but in times that are necessary, you can gravitate to that hat, but it's just not sustainable. You got to find a sustainable energy. And the thing that really resonated with me, and I'm curious, you know, had you been a fan of Lencioni prior to this and just following his works, or was this just something outside of it that gravitated you?
Yeah. So finish up with one point that you made, that I think also in the DISC, your personality may change, right? So if you're in a job long enough, you may become more of the D than maybe you were before, because you're in a leadership position or a CEO position. It requires a little higher D, if you will. The 6 working geniuses, your energies don't change. you enjoy doing something for pretty much for life. It's not like you just one day say, I don't get energy from doing this anymore. Right. So that's one difference is I've seen my disc profile change over years in a job. Yeah. Right. But I haven't seen my energy change. I enjoy sports. I enjoy this. I enjoy that. It's not like I wake up one day and go, I don't like sports anymore. I get energy watching sports. Right. You know what I mean? So that's one example, but to your question on the Lencioni thing, no, it was Andrew Franklin and some others that really started getting, well, Rocket Fuel was prior too, but honestly, Andrew Franklin kind of got me into the EOS model, and we actually had an implementer in the whole nine yards, and I saw the power behind that. And I paired that up with my corporate background and some things like that, and I could really understand how that model worked in the level 10 meetings and having your rocks and really breaking things down into quarterlies and so on and so forth, right? It was just a more organized corporate model. I come from a corporate world, so those things kind of resonate with me as having structure and models. And then this new Six Working Geniuses, man, I don't even know how that got lopped on me. Somehow I just discovered it. I wish I could remember when. It's just been pretty recent. But when I read it, I was like, actually, no, it was Tina. Tina presented it. Actually, now that you say that, she presented that at one of the San Diego masterminds. And I'm like, it's genius. I'm going to look into that some more. So yeah. Kudos to Tina. So then I went and got certified.
Kudos to Tina.
Yeah. So I got certified in it just like Tina does, I think. And so, yeah, awesome.
I think anything, you know, too, you want to really, you know, grasp it and spend as much time and, you know, use the word obsessed with it, but it really is what it takes to really immerse yourself into that process when you believe there's that way. But yeah, I mean, if you know, any of Lencioni's work, we were introduced to him, through The Advantage, the book that he wrote called The Advantage. And that solves a lot of small business problems, just being able to go through understanding all of the concepts. It talks about meetings. It talks about vulnerability. It talks about just all the things that small business entrepreneurs mess with, even getting the people. And he wrote another really good one. All of his stuff is fantastic. He's got one on, you know, kind of what role are you, the visionary? Are you the front of the house, the back of the house? He's got one, you know, the ideal team player. You know, yep. Hungry, humble. You hear people throw out hungry, humble, smart. That's from Lencioni. And so I remember I was at the airport and the book had just dropped, right? Six Working Genius. I'm on his email drips and stuff. I see it, but I saw it and I grabbed it and I started going through it. And then I think I had a conversation maybe 2 weeks after that with Tina. And she had told me that she had immersed herself. She'd gone through certification and it's changed her whole life. And I'm like, yes, I've got to get. And then I saw you in Nashville and you were all about it, talking about it, presenting on it. I was like, we need to talk. Because
yeah, I think
how powerful this is.
It's like any other model. I think it's catching momentum and they're seeing the results in it, right? And now that's results that are everything. I mean, as you see results in it, then that validifies or validates the concept, right? And then people start latching on.
So I'm going to let you run through. I think we've painted a broad enough stroke and kind of led up to this point. I know I have some other kind of questions to kind of fire in, but I would love for you to kind of work through kind of the three pieces. Just, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, but if we kind of keep it and then, you know, there's certain things that probably would be beneficial to Honey Badger Nation to unpack and think about. And then before we wrap up, I want to make sure, you know, everybody tuning in has the ability, opportunity to how to connect with you to dive deeper on this.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks. So, I mean, the biggest thing I like to kind of start it up with is, you know, what parts of the job are you doing and getting no energy? So as you're going through this presentation, kind of be thinking through that. Like when you wake up and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. Now I'll talk to you. You're going to have to do things you don't want to do. But if you're doing the majority of the work that you don't want to do, you're not going to have the energy. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I really want to break down the concept here that's called an acronym called the WIDGET, W-I-D-G-E-T. Each one of those are geniuses. All of us have two of the geniuses that gives us great amounts of energy and absolutely thrilled to do our job. Two of those are competencies, which we could take it or leave it, but we're okay with it. And then two are frustrations. That is really the six. I want to go through each one of those. And as you're looking through this or listening as an audience, kind of see which ones you would guess that you are. That's a challenge that I'll kind of give you. Which ones are your two favorites or your geniuses, and which ones are probably your frustrations? Like you wouldn't want to do that full time, all day, every day, kind of.
what are the two middle ones?
Working competencies.
So how does this, because you've gone through EOS and everything, and maybe I've even shared this with you. I know I shared it with Justin, with Dan Sullivan's concept, right? Unique ability. And to me, that's that genius. And you nailed it, because we have unique abilities and then we have excellent abilities. And the thin line is one gives you passion and one doesn't, right? There are the people like, man, I'm really good at that. You know, I might be one of the best at that. I'm like, does it give you passion or not? Does it give you energy or not? And they're like, I ain't passionate about that. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those.
And I look at it like, yeah, like we're all different. Like I love networking. I love being on shows like this with you, right? And podcasts and different things like that. I like that. That gives me energy. Others, that doesn't give them energy. If you told them your full-time job is to be a radio analyst and get on and talk on a microphone and put your face on camera, you wouldn't like your job very long, right? So drastically different, right? And so that's kind of the widget model kind of takes us through that. And, you know, so people will understand the people who understand their geniuses will show up to work happier and more effective and play well with others. If you're doing things that you love, you're going, it's just natural, right? It's kind of cliche. Do what you do, you know, do what you love and never work a day of the rest of your life, you know, kind of thing. So I kind of want to go through that. So just understand this is 20% personality and 80% productivity. That's what makes this a little bit different. This is going to help your productivity of a team taking a project from A to Z more than it is going to be about your personality, though there is a little bit of personality in there. So I want to talk, and I want you to know too, this applies to your marriages, right? I mean, that's the reality. As I go through these, I will show you some examples of probably why you're opposites and how you can bridge that gap between, hey, I'm always in curiosity, yet this person wants to always get stuff done. I'm looking around at laundry saying like, cool, I wonder if I can get my laundry done this week. And your spouse is like, get that crap done now. I want to finish, get it done. Right. And it's just like, it's just how you tick. Right. And if you guys understand it and how it applies, you can work together. So it's not only a business concept, but it's also a relationship concept as well.
I love it.
Cool. So with the wonder, you know, it's a person who gets energy from pondering, asking questions. Why are things the way they are? Right. It really starts the process. They are just natural questioners, right? You think of those type of people in your world. So I want you to think about that as yourself. It's like, hey, are you asking a lot of questions? And you get energy from that. Like, how do we make this better? How do we improve our profit margins? How do we run a better budget, right? How do we put an organization together that's more functional than it is today, right? That is the wonder. They truly, 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 truly get energy from asking questions. That's what we'll go through in a little bit, is more the 35,000 foot level. Think about any project or anything that ever starts. It almost always starts with somebody's asking a question. So that's kind of the W. That what happens with the W is it provokes the next step. So you're going to see this as kind of a linear process. And the next process is invention. So these are the people that love to come up with new ideas out of nothing. Like they like to invent novel ways of solving that wanderer's problem. They take someone that's wondering and they say, hey, that's a good question. Let me try to solve it. So think of yourself as that way. Are you the guy or the gal that's always coming up with creative ideas? Mm-hmm. Are you always providing just solutions and you just really tick off of that, right? Like that's what you show up to work every day to do. Like, I don't want to be the finisher. I don't want to be the person that's signing off on all the contracts, right? Like those, that's like kind of the closer type person. I want to be the guy that's like, how do we make this better? How do we not have to sign things off and make it more automated, right? That's kind of the inventor type person. So the next one that we want to talk about is the D, which is the discernment. So the discernment is really one of the most important people, honestly, in this whole process. Sometimes the innovator is seen as more of the quote genius, if you want to call it, because they're coming up with a lot of creative ideas. But listen, we've all been in the boat where we've come up with 10 ideas and 9 of them probably are not such great ideas. Yet sometimes we go execute them anyways because we think they're great because we created them in our head. But you've got to have that challenger or that discernment person, right? The discernment are people that have a great gut feel. They have instinct and intuition. They think in integrative ways. So think of an integrator, right? Rocket fuel with the integrator. That's really the person that you want kind of in that discernment role. They generally know if something's going to work or not. They just have that knack of just general. Now, what happens is they're the ones that question the inventor. So what happens, it goes back and forth, right? John, you come and say, I got a great idea for a coaching program. And you need to run that by a discernment person so they can go, hey, I hear you, John. That sounds like a great idea. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? What about this? What about that? Can we tweak this and make it a little bit better, right? Because inventors naturally are going to work at that 30,000 foot level. And then it comes down to the discernment person that's really going to just say, John, I'm not seeing it. Like, let's talk more about this. Like, help me understand it, right? So you need that person. So what happens a lot of times is we go from invention right down to execution. Invention to execution. That's a problem. You don't have somebody that's a sounding board kind of challenging your thoughts.
Yeah.
The next one is the G, and then I have three more, so bear with me here. So the G is the galvanizer, right? The galvanizer is the one that gets energy and joy out of inspiring and rallying people, right? They're kind of what, you know, I don't want to call them the cheerleaders, but really they're the ones that's the glue. They pull everybody together. They get them all motivated. They get passionate how to do that. They say, hey, this is a great idea from the inventor. Let's go forward and move, and let's get everyone to do it. And hey, let's go, right? They're really like your spark plug, let's just say. They buy into it because they've asked the question, an invention's been created around it. It's gotten to be a little bit more firm on the idea. And now the galvanizer just kind of pulls everybody together and says, I'm excited, let's go, let's rally, head on out.
And it's because they work together, so mm-hmm. they trust the person that's being, you know, the discernment. They trust that the, you know, the idea is there, and then they're bought into the vision of the wanderer.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's 100% right. And they all work hand in hand, right? Is the discernment person goes back and forth with the innovator, because obviously the invention type person is like, okay, maybe that wasn't such a great idea, but we can make it better, right? And then discernment comes back in and says, hey, that's better. That's better. I like that. And then once they get that, the galvanizer trusts that process has been done up until that point. And they're going to buy in, and they're going to rally the troops. So the fifth letter is enablement. So enablement is they're the ones that respond to the galvanizer. So if you need help, they're the ones that are going to be like, I got you. Like, I'm jumping in. I don't even know what grenades are being thrown. I don't know if we're being shot at. I really don't know anything, but guess what? I got you. Let's go. That's what I get energy on. I get energy on just jumping in and helping out where I can help out. And they also help, they anticipate the help they need and will provide it, right? So that's kind of the key thing, is like, they're not only going to say, hey, John, how can I help you based on this idea? Let me also rally some more people through the galvanizer. And basically we'll say, hey, this is good. We need this. We need that. We need this. We need this. And now let's go forward and conquer. All right. The last one we got is the tenacity, right? Which is the finisher. So the finisher, basically, what you, like you would say, they just get shit done. They get it to the finish line. Me, I'm a W and an I. I hardly ever finish anything. I'm always at the 35,000 and the 30,000 foot level. I struggle finishing things. Now, I know I have to get things done, and I want that to be clear, is I have to get things done. I don't just get to say like, yeah, that's not really my energy, so we're never going to get anything done. However, if I've got somebody that has great energy and loves finishing stuff and check marking boxes and all of that, why wouldn't I give it to them? That's their passion. That's what they love to do. I'm going to cut corners. Let me just be clear on that. If I'm a WI and I'm being asked to do a T, you think I'm going to do it as well as somebody who gets energy off of doing the finishing job? Nah, because I'm going to cut corners. I'm going to be like, yeah, I signed most of those documents, but we're good, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the widget process. So as you guys are thinking, ladies are thinking through this, right? Which ones give you energy? Is it the wonder, the innovation, invention, the discernment, the galvanizer, the enablement, or the tenacity? So a couple more things I'll throw in there. It's like a wonder, just to kind of really solidify this point. A wonder is they crave finding new ideas, time, creative environments, critical thinking. What they don't desire is, who cares? Is it good enough? Not considering the question that they've asked. An invention type person craves problems to be solved, solutions, the first try, take actions, breakthrough boundaries. Things that crush them is moving too quickly to solve the problem. People who don't want to solve the problem, being told no. Like, face it, John, if you and I are inventors and I'm like, hey, I got seven ideas, I don't want to be told six of them are terrible.
Right.
I don't. It kills me. I'm like, yeah, but it's a great idea in my head. Right. So just some quick craves on the discernment, right? Is given the opportunity to analyze and speak. They like that. They like to be spoken. They like to be heard, right? They are the integrators. What crushes them is not being heard, not giving them an opportunity to discern. You just skip right over them and go, you know what? You're too difficult to deal with today. I'm just going to stick it right to the galvanizer. So then the galvanizers, they really crave positive energy, excitement, the opportunity to run with an idea. The enablement people likes to have positivity, appreciation, drive. Crushes are negativity, quitting, unappreciated. And then tenacity is kind of finishing a project of checklists, watching our work play out. What they don't like is when we take them back up to the 25,000 foot level, because we're invention people. And we're like, hey, that was a great idea 2 weeks ago. I appreciate all the work that you've done on this, but we're changing our plans again.
So we're going over here.
And they're like, you're kidding me? I just want to finish something. Quit changing your ideas. That's the widget. So when you look through it, and I'll be quiet after that in case you have any questions.
You're good, man.
That's really where you are. So two of those are going to be what gives you energy.
How do you know?
So you'll know when you show up at work and you like your day flies by. Like, I don't mean to be cliche by that, but when you're doing something and you look at the clock as an example, you're like, damn, that flew fast. That was 3 hours, right?
Right.
I know that sounds kind of simple, but that's the truth, right? What we say in burnout is, I think sometimes we have a misperception that it's too much work. Like, we have too much work on our plate. While that can be partially true, it's mostly because you may be doing something you don't enjoy. And if I keep dumping work on you that you don't enjoy, John, what's going to happen? You're going to be like, I don't have any energy. I'm burned out. But if I gave you more work, or the same amount of work in something that gave you energy, you wouldn't have the burnout. So I want people to kind of think about that. Is burnout to me is more along the lines of doing things you don't enjoy doing, as opposed. Now, again, I want to be clear again that you're going to have to do some things that you don't enjoy. This isn't sugar fairyland world of you're always going to do stuff you like. The key is, are you doing the majority of the work that gives you energy?
The way it just kind of connected for me right there with what you said is burnout is doing the things you don't like doing for an extended period of time.
Yep. Agreed. So that's the example of what they say is, imagine this vision. You have a hot pot of coffee. And this is Lincioni's example, right? It's not something I created. You have a coffee mug. You pour the coffee in there. You put the lid on it. That's going to stay warm for a long period of time. That would be considered your two working geniuses, whichever those two letters, that's going to just keep you going and going and going and excited. Your working competencies is like having the coffee mug with the lid off. You pour the coffee in there, it'll stay warm for a little while, but eventually it's going to dissipate and you're going to start losing energy over it. The frustrations on the analogy is you take the lid off, you poke a hole in the bottom of the coffee cup or the thermos and you pour it in there and it's just going straight through. There's no energy. There's no nothing there. So that's why they call that kind of the frustration. If you lived in that world of just constantly having the coffee poured in and out the bottom, you're not going to like your job.
Yeah. No, I love that. That helps. It makes a lot of sense, but you know, kind of going through, and you know, it's like what Tina was talking about. You were talking about before we hit record. You know, you have that kind of that altitude, right? You know, you got the view, and then you got kind of, it's either nice landing or it's like, right? Like you said, right? It's like, hey, you know, wonder, tenacity, right? And that's just like dropping right to, you know, dropping out of the sky. So like, how does the whole, they kind of come together and work together? Yeah.
I love that. And that's actually the example I like to give. It's like, let's just pretend like we're on a plane, right? Because this is altitudes. So the highest altitude is the wonder at 35,000 feet, right? This is the example that Patrick likes to give. And I like to repeat because it really resonates is we're on a plane. The wonder says, hey, we've been on the plane for a while. We might be running out of crew hours of how long we can be on the plane. We probably need to land and take a break. Awesome. So somebody's asked a question. We need to take a break. Cool. What is that going to look like? So then the 25,000 foot person or the inventor, so we're coming down 15,000 feet, right? The inventor says, hey, dude, let's go land in Yosemite. I think that's a great place. Let's go there. Awesome. So the discernment person steps in then at 20,000 feet and says, hey, you do know it's February. Yosemite's got a bunch of snow on the ground. I don't know if the airport's open. I don't know if they have fuel services. We could be landing in an airport that isn't open. Okay, cool. Good idea. Hey, that's a great idea. Thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for discerning that, right? So then we come back up to the 25,000 inventor level and kick it back to him or her. And we go, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, you know what? You're right. Let's divert to Karma. right? Let's go to Carmel because we know that that's going to be a warm area. They're going to have services open. I've actually been there before at this time of year. Good idea. I'm glad we changed that invention a little bit, right? We got better with what our decision was. So then we kind of go back to the 20,000 foot level, which is really the discernment. So the discerner then goes, okay, yep, better idea, inventor. Thank you. I helped you get to that conclusion. You're welcome. So I'm on board with this plan now. Like, thank you. So then we go to the 15,000 foot level, which is the galvanizer, right? And the galvanizer says, cool, we got a solution. Everybody up above has worked out the solution. Let's get everyone together. You over there, get on the radio, call ahead. Someone else, check that the services are open. And let's make sure that we have an itinerary that gets the runway open for us and they know we're coming in. And then you have the 10,000 foot, which is the enablement. So, you know, hey, I'm volunteering. I'll call the tower. I'll call the services. You over there, volunteer. I'll call to make sure they've got fuel, right? Everybody's just kind of volunteering to chip in and help out and get it done. Yep. And then the last one's the tenacity, right? They're going to be the ones that, hey, I'm going to land the plane. I got it. Make sure the wheels are down. I'm going to do all the practical things to make sure that we land this thing properly. So you can kind of see in that scenario how it starts with an idea. We got to take a break to how that flows through in that example. And where people get sick, right, is the wanderer says, we're going to take a break. The inventor says, let's go to Yosemite. Nobody challenges the Yosemite decision. They go do a low approach over Yosemite and they go, damn, there's no lights on the airport and the runway. What? So they drop out of the sky. And then what do? Back up to the top of the sky. And now they got to rethink, like, well, now what do we do? And yeah. So what happens is it bugs the crap out of the tenacity people because they're like, we should have thought through this better. Yeah. You got that's us crazy. Trying to land a plane on a runway that's not open.
Yeah. How'd y'all idiots miss that? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So think about that, how that works in your business, right? Like when you come up with an idea and then you just say, go get the job done. And you don't go through the activation phase or the implementation phase. That's activation phase, right? You're missing a key
right.
aspect of it.
Right. No, I love that. So like because even still back to trying to figure out really where, you know, your top two geniuses, your top two competencies, and then the top two frustrations to get the coffee and that. Is it also kind of trial and error? Is it, you know, like because I could see where I could kind of blend the lines a little bit, right? I can play, you know, in between the 25 to 20,000, and I can play down here a little bit too. And is there a way to kind of see that? And then also, Mike, is, you know, are your two usually grouped together, or can you find somebody that can kind of, you know, be a little further apart?
Man, that's a great question. So a lot of this training too is about self-awareness. If I'm in a meeting and I'm a WI and you're a T, and I continue to lead the meetings where my energy is, which is the 25 to 35,000 foot, I'm going to lose you in a hurry on tenacity on the strategical side of it, the tactical side of it, right? You're going to be like, yeah, Mike's just blowharding about awesome ideas that he'll never implement. He'll never execute. Why are we here? Right. That type of stuff. So yeah. I have to be self-aware that I have to let this model play out. I have to include everybody in the room for this meeting. Look, we've got a question. We've got some inventions. Who's a discernment person? Let's talk about it. But you've got to take it all the way through the process or you alienate people. And now they're like, what's my value here? I just get told what to do. And then it changes a week later because it was never properly discerned, right? And to answer the second part of your question, yes, I have some people that are actually polar opposite. They are wonders, but they're also tenacity. So they're so they make themselves constantly battle internally. They're like, I wonder how we could do this. Okay, I'm going to go do it. But they missed all those other steps. So they actually internally make themselves kind of sick because they're like, got an idea. I don't know how I'm going to invent it. I don't know anything about it, but I'm just going to go over here and do what I do.
Yes. I know a few folks like that. So it's like, it is, you nailed it, right? You make yourself sick. I think that, you know, the altitude analogy and the visualization of that, it makes a lot of sense. And so, you know, the math equation that you said right before you broke down the widget that really hit home and I think people need to think about is 20% personality, 80% productivity. And productivity is just getting the result, getting mm-hmm. us to the goal.
100%. And what this model works so well, especially in meetings, because now there's also some, as part of this curriculum and part of the certification, we won't go into today, but there's actually setting up meetings based on these geniuses. You're going to want to, like, I'll just give you an example. Like, there may be a 5-minute ops tempo meeting every single day. That is really what the tenacity people want. It's very boots on the ground. It's very much like, what do you need to accomplish today? How are we going to get there? Move on to the next person, right? But it's not this big strategical meeting. You actually will go off site to do these strategical meetings. And I don't want to digress, but this is why this stuff is applicable, is you want to probably have a couple of different meetings that really gives energy to the people based on where their genius is. So they feel connected, they feel executed, they can execute and some things like that. So it's, again, it's a lot about self-awareness, right, John? If I know you're an E and a T, right, I have to know that I have to take the plane down all the way to the ground for you to really buy into it and for you to execute on it. If I just stay at 35,000 foot level, you're never going to see the connection between the whole process. It's too high level, right?
It makes sense. It really does. So my question then now, how do you go about assembling this team? You know, and you understand, we talked about in Nashville, the salary cap concept. You just don't have, we only have so many dollars to put the best team on the field. Okay. And so, you know, my mind's trying to think of, and this is probably where my brain goes, is like, okay, if we know this is to be true, how do we get there? What are all the ways? Yeah. And so how do you go about assembling this team, even if it's just you and maybe an assistant, right? And that's how you want to build your business. But you're like, okay, I'm buying into that. So how do I get all of these people into my world to help me, live a better life with my relationships and help me, obviously will help me probably with my health. But then how do I, you know, really leverage this for my business?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's asked a lot. So one thing that I would say is, you know, the first thing I encourage people to do is go get the book, right? I don't get paid for this advertisement, right? But it's the 6 working geniuses. So you really understand it. And what you want to do with that is, if it's just, let's just say, you know, you are the head of the team, and I'm a agent that works for you, or I'm your admin, right? Let's just say I'm an E and a T, and you're a W and an I. Okay, really, then we just need the D and the E, right? Or the D, G, and E. Right. So the question would be is like, hey, who's a coach? Who's your coach? Could your coach fit into that role and say, hey, I've read the book. It looks like you have some discernment as a coach. Could I use you on this particular project? So here's the question. Here's the innovation or the invention. As a coach, can I borrow you for this project? I'm not going to take a lot of your time. I just want to run through some things that we're talking about and thinking about doing. Let's face it, a coach should be really good at discernment, right? They should be challenging you. And great. That would be a great fit. And perhaps you're already paying that coach, right? So now you're not really spending any more money. Use them in that capacity. That would be one example. Other examples are just borrow other people that are maybe even in your family. Look, the reality of it is they don't always have to be experienced or know the business. They can ask questions as discerners. Sometimes it's even better when it's an outsider asking you questions because they're not biased to what they already think the answer is. So that's what I would say in that capacity. You don't have to go hire people to fill these gaps. What I will say, if you have a gap, so we do like a team analysis, a certified instructor. So I can look at like your core leadership, and I can look at all your geniuses. I can look at all your frustrations, and then I can plug in the holes. I can go, you guys are really strong with geniuses on the W. You really suck with galvanizers. You don't have anybody that enjoys rallying the troops. How is that affecting you? Are your people buying into your solutions? I'm going to guess no, because you don't have anybody gathering the troops and putting a big emphasis on let's move forward and go. Point being is you may find somebody either in your department, or you may have, when you do your next hire, you may be looking for a galvanizer. Yeah. Right. I'm not saying you have to go out and hire somebody, but if you're in a position where you do want to hire somebody, I would encourage you to look at your team map and go, we can really use a galvanizer. Yeah, they need the experience. Yeah, they need to be the right pay, right? All of those things that go through the interview process. But let's find out if they're a galvanizer, because if they are, we've now filled the hole in our widget process. And now this team is going to function a hell of a lot smoother.
Yeah. And move a lot faster and a lot happier.
That's it. Yeah. That's the big culture thing with this thing is everybody is, for the most part, doing the majority of the work in the lanes that they get energy out of.
It's so good. It's so good. And, you know, yeah, I was really thinking through as you were going, you know, a great coach, it definitely is the one it's questioning you. It's, you know, because a lot of, you meet a lot of clients, especially in the real estate space, that can flip to both sides of the spectrum, right? You know, they struggle with the big picture, or they don't struggle with the big picture. It's just execution. You know, they can get through it, they can get things done, they can sell, but really what's the next step? And then you got people that are can just run and get shit done, but they don't know the destination, they don't know the vision, they don't know that big picture. So I think I really believe that a great coach is definitely going to be in the discernment role for you until you can, you know, get to a point to bring it in house and mm-hmm. being able to have that in that integrator role. And then I was thinking through the same thing, right? Go borrow people, go borrow your friends and bounce some ideas off of them. Go bounce, you know, borrow family members, you know, colleagues, associates. So there's things that you could, you know, utilize them in those roles that's not necessarily in a compensation capacity.
Yeah, agreed 100%. And I'm big with, you know, lead with profit. So, you know, don't go hire somebody just to fill a gap because you have a gap. Yeah. Let's be creative and find inexpensive or free resources for sure.
100%. Mike, this has been absolute gold. So what would you tell people kind of hearing this kind of next steps?
So I think next steps for me is like, well, one would be read the book. That is really a good book. The second thing is you can go out to the workinggeniuses.com. That's Lencioni's stuff. And there's some 4-minute videos out there. They've got a podcast, they've got a YouTube channel, and they really break down a lot of what I just talked about. But where it's just like the EOS, where it really gets ground is when you have somebody who's interpreting, analyzing, and consulting, who has done this with multiple other teams before. So they've seen some of the hiccups. And that's kind of where the certified facilitators come in, right? The certified facilitators will go, I need your whole team to take the assessment. It's going to throw it into a team map. I can see where your team's going to have different weaknesses and strengths than my team's going to have. And it's really interpreting that and going, hey, John, where do you see your projects having the biggest issues, right? Well, they never get finished. All right, cool. That would agree with your team map. You don't have anybody with tenacity. So that could be a problem. How are we going to work around that, right? So it's really somebody who comes in and basically assesses, consults, and provides you the new structure, right? And a lot of times it's just moving work around. It's not so much about adding other headcount. It may be like, hey, John's been so great at this. All I ever do is dump that on him because he's good at it. But if I ask John, do you enjoy that? No, I don't, but I do it because I'm good at it. Well, after a while, John's not going to like his job because he's like, all I'd ever do is get this same work that I don't enjoy doing. I'm great at it. Don't get me wrong, but I don't enjoy it. So now can I move some of that work off of John? Not all of it, but some of that, and put it to somebody else that actually enjoys doing it. And the results are going to be drastically different because it's not that John's not good at it. It's somebody that's more passionate about it is going to probably do a better job overall.
More productive. Mm-hmm. Love it. So Mike, if they want to connect with you, kind of, you know, you be that certified advisor, mentor, guide for them, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, just email me. It's mike@ihgnetwork.com, which is Integrity Home Group, mike@ihgnetwork.com. We also have a website that's just for our team. It's www.ihgnetwork.com. Either one of those, you can reach out to us. Happy to always talk about what we do, how we do it, what's the structure, right? Those kind of things. So yeah, that's the easiest way, honestly. And then that way we can pick it up and have a conversation. I'm not going to sell anybody on anything. It's really just, here's what the structure is. Here's what it does. Here's the results. If you see it as an opportunity, happy to jump in and try to change your business. And if not, that's good.
Yeah. Man, amazing. Really what these conversations are all about, you know, really the troll, the entire expert mentors, you know, series and conversations, and definitely was a great, great conversation and very impactful and chock full of really important, you know, kind of distinctions and understanding for us to be better as you started the kind of the whole conversation around leadership. And
I think it's like you said, right? We get into this business, specifically real estate, to learn how to sell a lot of houses, make a lot of money, right? And then we get to that point of like, okay, I'm either under leveraged or I don't have the systems, or I don't have the models, right? And I think next level is leadership and models, leadership and models, leadership and models. If you ever want to grow and scale, as you alluded to earlier, you're going to have leadership and models, period, end of the sentence. And I'm not going to want to create my own models personally. I'd rather what the experts are doing, following their paths and bringing an expert along to go, hey, good job. You're following the model exactly. Or, hey, we need to tweak some things. So
that's it. So good. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
You too.
Yeah. Well, no, we'll do it again. We'll see you.
Yes, sir. Thanks. So bye.
Thanks for listening to the Coach Code Podcast. This is John Kitchens. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's keep making it happen, and I'll see you on the next one.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate On Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI, Real Estate On Air.